Accession number 18747, Reel 3.
Mr. Harris, Reel 3. I notice from your logbook that the previous raid to that one you've talked about says Operation Mai, a German troop camp, and you've said dive bombing flak positions. Can you recollect that one?
No, that's not very clear in my mind. It was quite an important raid, but I'm afraid I haven't done a lot of research in there, and I really can't remember much about that one. That's Maiolly.
That's right. Mali,
yes, yes. It was not a happy raid. I seem to remember the details roughly were that it was led by Cheshire, and he was punctilious, I suppose is one way of describing it. He wanted it marked so accurately. But the snag was that there was a lot of German fighters were up. We had a considerable amount of Lancaster losses on that raid, and he was blamed for hanging around too much on that. I can remember that.
Did you ever meet Cheshire during the war?
Let's say it was a passing acquaintance. You know, I never went drinking with him or chatting him up. I mean, he talked to us. He was very likeable, very modest for what he did. I think that the biggest disappointment regarding Cheshire, if this isn't sounding too dramatic, was latterly, many years after the war, he came out with a suggestion that we should have standing by a complete service, I suppose one would describe it, where when there is a world disaster, an earthquake, or like we have at the moment in Bosnia, where suddenly food is required, tents are required, blankets are required, that they should all be prepared and put aside in a hangar so that the moment a disaster strikes, one doesn't have to then say, well, we're going to go around and collecting blankets, go around and get food ready. It's immediately ready, an aircraft can call in there, load up and deliver. Well, I think he'd worked this out in pretty big detail. But it never came to pass, sadly. I think that would have been a pretty good contribution to, you know, modern-day mankind. Sad.
There is a particular operation in here on Saumur, which I think you've commented on elsewhere. This is 31st of May 1944. Mm. Does that stick out in your memory?
Yes, because aiding my memory is a painting that Group Captain Benny Goodman commissioned an artist to do a painting of a marshalling yard. This would be the one at Saumur, a marshalling yard, and he was to mark one end of it, and we were to mark the other end. And I think we were both fairly successful in doing just that. And then the heavies were called in, and the raid was extremely successful. I think the marshalling yard was almost completely destroyed. But this painting was very effective and very realistic. I suppose the artist being guided by somebody like Benny Goodman would obviously have all the detail given to him fairly accurately. And I did ask permission from Benny Goodman, could I use it as an illustration on the cover of the video, which described this particular rate, and he then mentions that we both took part in this raid.
Your own logbook entry says runaway engine belly landing.
Oh, yes. Well, as we got back to base, we were in the circuit for landing, and suddenly there was a most startling noise from, I think it was the starboard engine. And I thought it was sounded as though another mosquito was just above us. The noise seemed incredible. And in next to no time, my pilot's hand dashed over in the darkness and pressed a feathering button. Evidently, it was a device known as CSU, which is, I think, something like the controlled CSU, controlled something, speed unit, which I think keeps an engine at a certain speed. And this just packed up, and the engine was going faster and faster and faster. And I suppose it might have disintegrated or done something. I'm not an engineer. Anyhow, the pilot then screamed out over the intercom, coming in on the belly. The idea we were going to crash land because the ground was coming up at a terrific rate, because we were in the situation when we were about to land. Anyhow, the poor girl in the control tower didn't know what he meant by. So we then heard her plaintively asking, "Say again, please." Well, by this time we'd hit the ground and dust was flying everywhere. And it was a most perfect landing, considering, and very wisely, he, instead of coming along on the hard concrete, he went on the grass beside, which of course meant that all the other aircraft could still use the runway. And it did least damage to the aircraft, until of course we then hit across a runway running in the opposite direction, and that sent us up in the air again. And those that were watching thought, oh dear, well, this is bad, because it'll come down and tip over and be upside down. Fortunately, it didn't. It then landed. But the next morning we went along and they jacked it up and they lowered the undercarriage. So the damage was minimal, which I have to give 10 out of 10 to my pilot for that excellent landing.
I noticed you didn't fly on D-Day itself.
No. I think we were doing either the day before or the day after. And we were doing some diversionary. I think we were dropping window somewhere. I'm very vague about it.
Yes, it says 8th of June, Operation Avranche, backed up two red spot fires, both hung up.
Oh.
And when did your operations come to an end with 627 Squadron?
I can only say it was in 1945. Afraid we'd have to, the last operation would be recorded there, isn't it?
Yes, we'll find it in your logbook later. Did you feel very confident when you were doing the mosquito raids?
I think the mere fact one had survived 30 to 40 raids, and of course in that time during the war the Germans were beginning to lose their grip. In other words, we were bold enough to go in daylight, and in my logbook several of the entries are in green, which indicated a daylight operation. And one could be quite bold and go and do one's pathfinding work, which one had always had to do at night. One could do it very satisfactory in daylight.
According to your logbook, the actual date of the last operation seems to have been 30th of October 44, an operation on Walcheren. That was a famous attack by the Royal Marine Commandos and others on Walcheren Island, and it seems to have been your 66th operation.
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
What do you feel like now in 1999 about having taken part in the Bomber Command work in the Second World War?
Yes, well, my first reaction is one of thanksgiving, because having survived the war, it did have its dangerous moments, but to think one came through it, I've had no after effects whatsoever, no injuries, and one is extremely thankful. I think I would also mention that it was a time when one met so many characters, and in retrospect, I have great admiration for some of them, particularly even members of my own crew who had families and young children. And here we were going off, it seemed, night after night, risking our lives, and I just thought, well, I was unmarried, carefree, and there they had these families to think about, wondering whether they would ever see them again. That, I think, is something that is of considerable concern. Whereas the general effect of Bomber Command is one of discussion in pubs and clubs. But I seem to remember that there was a stage when I was on Stirlings, when London and other cities in this country were suffering quite a bit from German bombing. I can remember one night some chaps got me by the scruff of the neck and said, look, when you've got these bombers, when are you going to bomb Berlin? Because you let these guys come over here night after night bombing us. It's high time we gave them a bit of stick. So, of course, when Bomber Command Chief, Walter Arthur Harris, decided he'd do just that, we went bombing night after night at pretty high cost, bombing Berlin. People then began to say, well, it doesn't do much good towards the war effort, but on the other hand, I just wonder if it was satisfying morale at home to think at last we were getting at the enemy and hitting him where it hurts, perhaps not so much from the point of view of industry, but for morale, to think we could bomb the capital. Afterwards, we heard from Goering, who I think once remarked that no enemy plane would ever fly over the Third Reich. So there's a lot to be thought about. And I suppose the final word is to say that everybody in this country thought that something should be done. They had a great fear if they didn't do something, they would wind up being one of Hitler's slaves. And I think that was one of the reasons that I thought, well, sooner my call-up papers arrive, the better. Perhaps too patriotic for a lot of people, but then that was my sentiments at the time. And I think quite a lot of other guys I've known.